Morning again. You know, it's been an interesting morning. I hate letting people go, like the Scott Medlocks. But this morning we had the new member of the first new member class here in the green room at 9:30. And it's just a reminder that there are always people coming and going through the church. And when the ones I'm really attached to leave, there are still new ones coming. And so I guess we'll be okay. Actually, there's some really neat new people in the church, as there always are. Don't you think this rain will fill the pool? This week is the beginning of Lent. Ash Wednesday is Wednesday, which means 40 days till Easter on April 20th. It's really 44 days. You don't count the Sundays. That means Mardi Gras is Tuesday this week, the big blowout before the austerity of Lent. When I lived in New Orleans, Mardi Gras went on for about 10 days. And by Ash Wednesday, people were actually grateful to stop drinking. I didn't grow up with Lent. Baptists didn't do that. The way my Catholic friends explained it to me when we were children, during Lent, you give up something you like candy, and whenever you miss it or start to feel sorry for yourself, you remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you. He gave up his life. The least you can do is give up candy. Is that about right, former Catholic, Episcopalian, Lutheran? Okay. Even as a child, I thought that is just one more way to impose guilt because Jesus died for my sins. And I already felt guilty about that, and I didn't think I'd done anything bad enough that Jesus had to die. All right, how many people in Unity were theologically rebellious children? See, that's what I thought. We don't typically observe Lent in Unity, at least not in any formal way, but Unity publishes a Lenten booklet every year, and Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, talked and wrote about Lent enough that a book was compiled after his death called Keep a True Lent. I did a whole series on that book a few years ago here, but I still have to push myself every spring to understand what Lent means for us in Unity, if anything. We're not really into sacrifice. We don't teach what is called the theology of atonement, that Jesus died for your sins. That is traditional Christianity. Jesus died to square accounts with God for all of us. But in Unity, we never thought God required a human sacrifice. We have talked often about how the image of a sacrificial lamb was a powerful symbol for Jews 2,000 years ago, and the suffering servant was part of their messianic tradition. In fact, I've scheduled a whole talk about atonement when we get closer to Easter. Unity grew out of the other view of Jesus, the minority view, that he was here to show us what's possible for all human beings, that he was one of us. He was just totally tapped into the divine, as we can be. He said anything he could do, we could do better. I know it sounds a little irreverent, but you can look it up, John 14:12. He had complete confidence in our power, the divine Christ presence in each of us. It is best reflected in the book of John, and we'll return to that before Easter too. So in Unity, Easter, like Christmas, is about our own divine consciousness. And Lent is a season of preparation for the holiday that reminds us there is always a resurrection. No matter what we've been through, crucifixion, no matter the darkness we've lived in, tomb, we can always walk back out into the light. We can live as Jesus did, totally tapped into God, living from the presence that is within us and all around us. That's the meaning of Easter for us. Lent was the Teutonic word for spring. As the story of Jesus' resurrection grew, and you know it became bigger and more literal over time, The developing Christian churches began to commemorate Easter. It was the first Christian holiday. It took 200 or 300 years to settle on what and when Easter would be. But people were already used to spring celebrations and pagan fertility rites this time of year. That's how eggs and bunnies got attached to the memory of death and resurrection. The early Christians prepared themselves for Easter by fasting. So the idea of giving up something for Lent is a modern-day form of fasting. And over time, Lent was expanded into 40 days based on the story that Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and then being tempted. He was tempted by his ego. He was tempted to give in to his humanity, hunger, power, superiority, but he hung on to his divine awareness. He continued to make choices from his God self. And that's one way Lent applies to us. Are we turning away from ego temptations and living from our divine potential? Temptations are not all about the flesh. They can be giving in to bad temper, cheating on your income taxes, judging other people, wallowing in fear or negativity, just not being the best person you can be, not listening to the wisdom of your higher self. In the West, Lent starts with Ash Wednesday, March 5th this year. So it starts with a reminder of our humanity, ashes. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The actual ashes come from burning the palms of the previous year's Palm Sunday and then mixing those ashes with oil or water to mark a cross on people's foreheads. Ashes have often been a sign of repentance. To repent is to change your mind, to turn away, to look another direction. Stop doing what you've always done so you can get better results. There are several ways for us to use this season for our spiritual growth. One can be a literal spring cleaning, giving up excess or the accumulations of things you don't need. And I mean have a yard sale, take a load of stuff to Goodwill. Or you could clean out old ego patterns and old beliefs that no longer serve you. Fillmore recommended fasting from negative thoughts. You could abstain from fear or from judging others. Personally, I'd rather give up chocolate. But the 40 days of Lent are a good time to release or fast or abstain from any beliefs or activities that keep you from knowing yourself as the Christ, from staying in touch with your divine essence. I've probably told you this before, but when I was new in Unity, I brought a friend who was a minister to church with me one Sunday. She came from a traditional Christian background. The first thing she noticed was that there was no cross in the sanctuary. And afterwards, her comment about Unity was, "You're all resurrection and no crucifixion." And I thought, you bet. Who needs doom and gloom? Who wants to sing about blood and death? Why should going to church bring you down? Now, at the time, she was working as a hospital chaplain. So I thought that explained her focus on the tragedies of life. And I thought, how great to be in a church that is not focused on suffering. Thing is, life still happens to us. Each one of you is dealing with stuff. Pain, grief, disappointment, physical ailments. They might or might not be in your immediate experience today, but we've all been through dark times. So once a year, maybe it is useful to focus on crucifixion, in that we have all suffered and even felt persecuted unfairly. And Lent, this season of preparing for Easter, gives us a 6-week opportunity to look into our own shadows. We've lived long enough to notice there are pockets of darkness in us. No matter how many positive affirmations we say, most of us are not living full-time in Christ consciousness. Now, you remember the Christ is not the same as Jesus the man. The Christ means the anointed one. We use the Christ to mean the divine essence in every human being. And Jesus the man embodied it. He showed us what it looks like. And I believe he desperately tried to convince us we are divine too. Lent gives us an opportunity to take inventory of the ways we are not expressing the Christ within, to notice when we're not our best selves, and then to practice living differently for 40 days. We might take an action, we might change a belief, might add something instead of giving it up, or both. In Unity, when you study affirmations deeply, you also learn about denials. Not denial in the sense of sticking your head in the sand, but denying the power of anything over you. Denying that anything can overcome the divine in you. Just as Jesus in the wilderness denied the power of his human weakness, which in that story is symbolized by Satan. Jesus held on to his divine strength, his will, his power. These are all attributes of God with which we are equipped. Affirmations are statements of truth, not what you wish were true, but what is true. I am a beloved child of God. That's true even on the days I don't feel it. Health is my natural state of being. That's true even when I have a cold. I live in a universe of unlimited abundance. That's true even when I'm broke or need a job. Affirmations remind us what's really true and help us elevate our vibration, return to equilibrium. But affirmations are more effective when we make room for them. Rather than using them like a bandage to cover over a wound, we cleanse ourselves first with denials. Denials are also statements of truth. Sickness has no power over me. I let go all limiting beliefs. I release all fear. It's like gently sweeping the cobwebs out of a room and then opening the windows and doors to let the sunshine and the fresh air pour in. So, sickness has no power over me. Health is my natural state. I release all fear and step forward confidently into my life. I let go all limiting beliefs. I make decisions from the divine within me. Deny the power. It's not that you deny the existence. You deny the power of anything negative and affirm the universal principle of good. So both are statements of truth. So you might consider, if you want to observe Lent this year, using both. What do you want to deny? Not its existence, but deny its power over you. Release it. Send it back where it came from. And then affirm the truth for you. The Christ is the perfect idea of humanity, expressing imperfectly through each of us. But we're working on it. And that's the opportunity we have during Lent, to sweep out the dark corners to make more room for the divine presence in us. No matter what we want to change, give up, or add on, the first step is always a shift in consciousness. Consciousness is mind, heart, thoughts, feelings, beliefs. That's what has to change first. So as you consider what action you might take to observe Lent, remember the ultimate goal is a shift in consciousness. And I was trying to think of an example of this. So let's say you give up smoking for Lent. Simple, not easy, I know. The shift in consciousness is wanting to take better care of your health. You already want to, so you take action in that direction, and that reinforces the change within. It's circular. You're not standing there with your fist clenched saying, I will not smoke, I will not smoke. But you might say, I deny the power of cigarettes over me. I know health is my natural state of being. And I believe there's a way to go even deeper. Because remember, the word sacrifice originally meant to make sacred. Not to deny yourself, not to give up what you love, but to make sacred. So I release cigarettes to make my body sacred. Because my body is sacred. Because my body is a vehicle for God on the earth. Because my soul needs this body to have this human experience. Consider, as you think about Lent, is there anything in your life you would like to make more sacred? To turn into a sacrament instead of just ordinary striving through ordinary days. You've heard of Brother Lawrence, the monk in the 1600s, who had kitchen duty at the monastery. He made washing every pot and pan a gift to God. He consciously performed every duty while being aware of the presence. So I tried to think of some ways we could make life sacred. So for the next 40 days, maybe when you drive the kids somewhere, instead of it being a chore, make it a sacrament. It's a time to appreciate them, to spend time with them, to let the divine love flow through you to them. I know in real life it's not always that way. But do you hear the shift in consciousness? Working in the yard can become a sacrament. The earth is sacred. Cleaning the house can be made sacred. Order is one of our divine attributes. It's all about the consciousness you bring to it. Lent is only partly about giving something up. It's releasing what isn't serving you anyway. It's shifting consciousness to shine a light into the shadows and make even those dark corners sacred. Charles Fillmore saw Lent as a period to perfect our spirituality and integrate it with our humanity. So what is keeping you from living as your higher self? How could you live that way a greater percentage of the time? Would it be giving up something? Start something? Stop something? The specifics will be customized for your life, but the practice of Lent is the same. Repent, change your mind, release what is not serving you, deny that anything is powerful enough to overcome the divine in you. Affirm the truth of your being as the Christ. Know that anything Jesus did, you can potentially do. And prepare over the next 40 days to walk out of the tomb into the light. So let's take those thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Take a deep breath and let it go. And move your body into that place that you can sit comfortably with your feet on the floor. Relaxed. And keep breathing into that space of relaxation. If you notice any part of your body that is giving you some resistance, breathe into that space. Simply acknowledge it and just let the energy and the focus of your attention loosen that muscle, a knot in your shoulder, kink in your neck. And continue to breathe into that space, your heart space. Expanding. Visualizing your breath moving in and through all of the cells of your body. letting that breath be just like the rain that's falling. It's a cleansing, purifying element. And as you go deeper into relaxation, allow yourself to bring to mind any internal sense of constriction in a thought. In a belief, breathe into it and let it go with your breath. Let this rain carry it away. And if that thought persists, let it be the focus of your practice. It may have something to teach you, or it may simply be something that is just time to give thanks that it was in your life and you no longer need it. Let it be your practice as a reminder. Of how far you've come. And more than that, a road sign to where you are heading as your greater God self. And remembering at every step that you are divine. You are the Christ. So take a deep breath. And another one, and let it out fully. this next deep breath, sing with me the Alleluia.